The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Well, good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family. Thank you for joining in with us virtually today. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas just a couple days ago. And also, I want to take the opportunity to wish you a Happy New Year. I know we're just a couple days away from the beginning of 2021. Can I get a virtual amen for anybody joining us? We're almost to 2021. I'm really excited for us to join together as a church family and to open God's Word together this last Sunday of 2020. And I really believe that God has given me a word that I needed in my heart from Him, but also a word to share with you. I want to begin by sharing something of mine that some of you may find interesting. I have right here a suitcase that actually says, "Going to Grandma's," and this suitcase is about as old as I am. I received this suitcase, I think, when I was 2 years old, but it's what's important inside of it that's important. This is my keepsake box. Now, I don't know if any of you have a keepsake box, but a keepsake box is typically something that you put certain possessions, certain items that matter to you, that have sentimental value, or maybe it's something cool as a kid that you discovered. And from the time I was a child, I put things inside my keepsake box that had special meaning or significance to me. So I'm going to come back to this. Oftentimes, what we put inside of a keepsake box are pretty ordinary things, but they're ordinary things that have meaning to us. So I'm going to talk today about the importance of how we can experience God oftentimes in ordinary ways. And I think there's an important message to share with you from our passage today. But before we open God's Word, I have a challenge for you. I know we have many kids and families and teens that are joining in on our live stream. I want to challenge you to guess an item that is inside my keepsake box. So whatever you think happens to be in here, I want to invite you to guess. And you can put that on your connection card with parents' help if you're a kid. Or if you're a teen, you can comment on social media, Facebook stream. I want you to guess what might be inside of here. And I'll even let the adults guess if you want. At the end of the service, we'll come back to this at the end of the message. But what I'll do for our kids, just to say thank you for joining us this Sunday, for the two who are closest or who guess the most items in here, I have $5 Dairy Queen gift cards, and I'm going to send one in the mail to you. And I'm going to do the same for two teens who guess items that are in my keepsake box. So we can have some fun with this. We'll come back to it in a moment. And I want to invite you together to open God's Word in your home with me today. Luke chapter 2. It's the story that unfolds right after the story of the birth of Christ. It's the story of Jesus being presented at the temple to be dedicated by his parents, where they also come for purification. And in this story, there is so much for us about how God will use ordinary circumstances and ordinary people to accomplish the unfolding of His promises and His plan. So let's open God's Word together. Starting Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. So the Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for this opportunity for us to gather humbly before you today from our homes, to open our hearts to your word on this last Sunday of 2020. We invite you now to speak to us, O Lord. Touch my lips and my mind, and might I speak only the words that you desire faithfully to reveal your word. We love you, and we rely fully on your love for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to just share two simple truths with you this morning from this passage, our reading of Scripture. And the first truth is this: God works through ordinary ways to unfold his promise and plan. God works through ordinary ways to unfold his promise and plan. Now, the Christmas story that, if you were with us on Christmas Eve, you heard told once again as we read the Scriptures, it is full of God's miraculous intervention, of God stepping into history through extraordinary ways to bring about the salvation that he would bring through his son being born into the world, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, entering into our world for our salvation. We remember the parts of the story of angels being sent to Mary and Joseph to announce the coming of Christ, the shepherds being told, and the intervention, the star of Bethlehem, all these extraordinary things. And oftentimes, that's all what we think about when it comes to the Christmas story. And we overlook this passage. It's so ordinary. Mary and Joseph here, they have experienced the extraordinary. They have seen the shepherds come. They've seen the fulfillment of what was prophesied. But now they go about taking ordinary small steps of faithful obedience. They follow through on small steps of obedience and commitment to God. They continue to faithfully do what faithful Jewish couples would do in this day. They follow the law, the Old Testament, the ceremonial law with the ritual purification. 40 days after the birth, they come, Mary and Joseph, to offer a sacrifice to the Lord for purification. They also come and they bring their son to be dedicated according to the law, their firstborn son, to be dedicated to the Lord. And then to give an offering as God would entrust that child back to them. They are doing the faithful small commitments that Jewish couples would do during this day who feared the Lord. Here we see that they're a very ordinary couple. In fact, we know from the text that Mary and Joseph are poor because Luke tells us in this story that the sacrifice that they get is two turtle doves or a pigeon. And the Old Testament law allowed for those who were poor, rather than buying a lamb or bringing a lamb that would be too costly for the poor, they could utilize a pigeon or two turtle doves. Two doves. And here they bring this simple offering, because they're poor, in a very ordinary way. You see, this story is very ordinary. And Mary and Joseph here take small steps of ordinary obedience that God blesses. What can we take away from this morning? Why is this important that before we move on to the new year and we're still thinking about Christmas, that we see that God moves in extraordinary ways to unfold his promise and plan? I think it's important because we know in our salvation, it is a miracle. that God would save us from our sins, that he would send his son who would die and be raised from the dead, and that you and I, all these years later, when we respond to his grace through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sins, and we place our trust in him, we call out to him to save us, that he actually does save us. He forgives us. He wipes the slate clean, but then he makes us new again. He breaks the power of sin, and we become a new creation. That is a miracle. But church, it's also important for us to remember God works and moves in often ordinary ways to unfold his promise and his plan. God often unfolds his plan for your life and for my life through ordinary small steps of obedience. He fulfills his promises. And oftentimes he works in ordinary ways that while we're taking those small steps, we can't see that it's part of his plan. But he is at work. Take, for example, Paul in Philippians 2. He says, "Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For it is God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." You see, it's all God's grace that works in us to change us, to make us new, that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God by placing our faith in Christ. But it's also out of that, that through that, God works in us the ability to show the evidence of our salvation as we seek to obey him, as we seek to follow what he teaches in his word in every area of our life. You see the small commitments, small steps of obedience God uses. It's not just the extraordinary moments where we can find Jesus. It's also in the daily ordinary moments where we can find Jesus and see Jesus. Mary and Joseph raised Jesus back in Nazareth when they return home, where he grows healthy and strong, full of wisdom and God's favor. Verse 40 of our chapter today highlights this point, that they go back and they care for Jesus and he grows strong. So it's not just the extraordinary moments that occur around Jesus' birth. It's also the many small steps, unseen, of faithful obedience where God is working to unfold his promise and his plan. The second truth is this that I want to share with you. The final truth is this: God works through ordinary people to bring wisdom and eternal life to others. I want to talk to you for a moment about this character in our passage today named Simeon. He is an ordinary man. In fact, God comes to him in a very ordinary way. We know from the passage here that he's an elderly, wise man. He's an old man, advanced in years. Luke also tells us that he's righteous and devout, and that he's waiting for the Messiah of the Lord who would come and rescue Israel. He is eagerly, expectantly waiting for the Messiah to come. Luke then tells us that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and revealed to him that he would not see death until he would see God's Messiah, the Savior, come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know. Luke doesn't tell us how God spoke to him. But I think we can have a pretty good idea. Notice there's no announcement of angels in the sky saying glory to God in the highest like there was to the shepherds. Notice that there's no appearance of an angel being sent by God to Mary or Joseph. There's no dream that we can see. It is likely here that the Spirit speaks to this man, Simeon, in the same way that the Spirit often speaks to us. Simeon was a devout follower of God. He was a faithful worshiper of the one true God. And so because he was a devout and righteous man, he sought to know the Lord through his word. So he would have sought the scriptures. And it's possible that in part God was revealing to him his plan for the Messiah who would come through the prophets and all the many prophecies that pointed towards the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, who would be the Savior of the world. So as he's searching the scriptures, God is speaking to him through his Spirit. But I also bet that God is speaking to him in the same way that the Spirit often speaks to us as he is praying and seeking God. The Holy Spirit, God impresses upon his heart through the Spirit that you will see with your own eyes this Savior. And through this impression upon his heart of the Holy Spirit, Simeon believes, and he eagerly waits, and he lives for the day that when he will see the promise of God fulfilled. Notice how God speaks to this ordinary man in what seems to be not as extraordinary as he spoke to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And then one day, Luke tells us, the Holy Spirit directs him to go to the temple, perhaps through his prayer time in the morning, perhaps as he was faithfully waiting for that day and opening the scriptures. The Holy Spirit directs him to the temple where he goes, and there he sees Mary and Joseph with their son, and he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. As he takes this baby into his arms, he praises God and he says, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." And then he turns to Mary, and this is significant. Luke tells us that he turns specifically to Mary, and he offers these words of truth, wisdom, and comfort. Hear once again what Simeon says to Mary. "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Mary will have her heart pierced by the crucifixion of her son Jesus. So here, even as Jesus is just an infant, God uses Simeon not only to declare praise that the Messiah has come, who not only will be the hope of Israel, but also will be a light to the Gentiles, that all people throughout all the world will be able to receive this wonderful gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world, and he offers this praise as he holds the baby Jesus. And at the same time, then he turns and he offers words of wisdom and what one day I believe would be comfort to Mary. He tells her that not only will the Savior come and it will be this triumph of God's victory over sin, it also will involve suffering. And Simeon, this wise elderly man, before he dies, as he holds the baby Jesus, he speaks what is to come, that the Messiah will experience suffering and many will be turned against him. Even those from the house of Israel will turn against him, while others will rise in faith and belief from both those of Israel and Gentiles in trusting in him. And then he turns to Mary and he says this statement. He says, "And a sword will pierce your very soul." Here he foreshadows even the reality that John tells us in his gospel that Mary would be with the Lord Jesus in his crucifixion. She would follow him through his scourging, and she would behold and she would see with her own eyes the crucifixion and suffering of her son. And for all mothers who are listening, I can't imagine anything else that would be more painful than to watch your son suffer so greatly. And I have to believe that in that moment, she would remember these words that were spoken, that God is going to fulfill his purposes and his plan. Why is it important that we realize God works through ordinary people to bring wisdom and eternal life to others, words of comfort, words of life? And what can we learn from Simeon? And this is where I want to conclude our time today. Just some simple application we can take from this godly, elderly man who in his arms would hold the Savior of the world, the very one who held him through all the years of his long life. He now holds God's Savior in his arms. I think we can learn this. Faith is confidently waiting on God to fulfill his promises, even and especially when circumstances don't look good. If you lived in the first century when Simeon was alive, It was a time of political divisions. It was a time of great oppression. It was a difficult, contentious time of word of revolution and a lack of peace and unrest. Just like our time, it was a time of disease and sickness and poverty and all kinds of issues. It was in this time that Simeon lived, and he experienced all the joys and sorrows of life. Yet he believed God would fulfill his promise. And let us remember as we reflect on 2020 that God will fulfill his promises. No matter what your circumstances look like this morning, no matter what you're going through, God will fulfill his promises. Faith is believing that God will fulfill his word, especially when we can't see, especially when the circumstances would tell us that our faith is naive. That is the essence of faith. Another lesson we can learn is this: contentment only comes from knowing God through Jesus Christ. You see, in this passage, Simeon's greatest joy, his contentment was in seeing Jesus. He lived for this moment. He searched the scriptures that told about the coming of a Savior who would be not just the hope of Israel, but of all, a light to the nations. God's unfolding plan of salvation to restore lost humanity to himself. He anticipated that day. He believed when the Spirit spoke to him, and he faithfully waited. And his heart was content when he himself saw God fulfill his promises. It's amazing, after he holds the baby Jesus and after he prays this prayer of praise, and then he speaks these words of comfort to Mary, he then says that now he's content to face his own death because he has seen God's Savior and he has seen the very source of life itself. And let me tell you today, growing old is not something we have to fear. Facing disease and suffering and potential death is not something that we have to fear. Because the same one who came into the world, not as a strong, mighty ruler, but as a weak infant that would be held by an elderly man in this passage, whose heart would overflow with joy and contentment, that same Savior has come for you and for me. He loves you. He's with you. And when you have seen Jesus, and you have experienced his love, and you've placed your trust in him, you know that there's nothing to be afraid of. That we have eternal life. We have the one who himself is the resurrection and the life. He is our Savior, and we have placed our trust in him, so we need not be afraid. Faith in the promise unseen is the key to contentment. He spent his whole life anticipating this day, and he was content to see that promise fulfilled. In the same way, if we're looking for contentment this morning, if you're looking for contentment, don't look for contentment in the things you can see. The things of the world, all those good things, possessions, friends, stuff. We tend to look for contentment in temporary things, but that contentment doesn't last. Like Simeon, let me call you today through God's word to find contentment in seeing Jesus only. That is the only source of lasting contentment. The Apostle Paul understood this. You may know the passage, Philippians 4:11. He said, "I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." The contentment is knowing that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have Jesus, we have everything. That is the hope we have. Another lesson we can learn from this is that the greatest goal we can set this year, as we approach 2021, as we begin to close the chapter yet on another chapter of life, chapter of 2020, the greatest goal you can set this year is not external, but it's in here. It's within our hearts, and that is to purpose to know Jesus this year. What was Simeon's goal? Simeon's life goal was to see Jesus. And it didn't matter how long it took him to see Jesus. He kept moving to that goal. He kept coming before God as a righteous and devout man, trusting that one day he would see Jesus. And God fulfilled his promises. Can I remind you, church? That's what it means to live in between the first and second coming of Jesus. Jesus is coming again. One day, you and I will see Jesus face to face. We too, like Simeon, will behold Jesus. And as we trust in him in this life, in that moment, our joy will be complete. You see, the greatest goal we move toward in all of our life is not external goals, which are good, but it's the foundation of the goal of knowing God. And we can know God. He's given us his word. If we'll take small steps of obedience to open his word, to make space in our life, to listen to his word, to read his word, to open our hearts in prayer and worship. So as you're thinking about the new year, I know you're thinking of good goals, about your health, maybe financial goals, pay off some debt, save some money, maybe exercise goals, relational goals, vacation goals. Make space to think about the eternal goals. Seeing Jesus is that great and lasting goal. And then finally, I want to share this lesson. When this is our greatest goal, knowing and seeing Jesus, God will use us as ordinary people to bring wisdom and eternal life to others. Here is Simeon. Perhaps the most profound thing he says in his whole life happens just at the twilight of his life before his death. When he is an elderly man, holds this baby that he's lived his whole life anticipating, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks words of salvation that we still read today that gives hope to not just those who are near and the people of Israel, but to us, we Gentiles. It gives hope that God has come for all people and his salvation is for everyone. And then he gives profound hope to Mary. If you remember, Mary is treasuring all these things in her heart. And we know that in this moment, as he speaks words of truth and wisdom, yes, your son will be the savior of the world, the light of the Gentiles, the hope of Israel, but also your son will experience suffering and you will experience the piercing of your own soul. Those are words that later on she would look back on, knowing that what happens to her son before through his death and eventually his resurrection is no accident, but it's part of God's unfolding plan. You see, God is using somebody ordinary, an old man named Simeon, to speak wisdom and life to others. And God will use you in the same way if you'll make your goal this year to be like Simeon, to see Jesus, to know him in every situation. As we close, I just want to share an illustration of somebody that I knew and some individuals who've had an impact on that. But before I do, I promised that I would pull out the keepsake box. So some of you are guessing. I hope you've gotten your guess in by now. If you haven't, quickly do that online. But I'm going to open it. I'm not going to show everything that's in here. But I am going to pull out just a few things. So I don't know, one hint I should have given you is I grew up in the country. This is a bone I found. So in my keepsake box, there is a bone. I don't know what kind of bone this is, but it's in my keepsake box. I also have a newspaper article of when Sammy Sosa took the lead over Mark McGwire in the home run race. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Unfortunately, he lost that race to Mark McGwire. I also have a picture, some meaningful pictures, so maybe you guessed pictures. Some of you may have said a card. I have a card in here. I also have marbles in here. Don't ask me why, but I kept marbles. I have a football card in here. There's all kinds of stuff. I have one other item here. This is not fish food, although it is a fish food container. This contains every baby tooth I ever lost. I bet you none of you guessed that. You can all just say gross right now. So there's other items that are in here. So hopefully, if you guessed closest, I'll be sending out some gift cards this week. But there's one more item in here that I want to share with you as we close. Inside of this box, there's an item that I discovered just this year that is deeply important to me. It's a Gospel of John. And I forgot that when I was a teenager, it's interesting that I put this in my childhood keepsake box because I didn't want to lose it. I was 17 years old, and I was attending a church here in Peoria, believe it or not, a church here in Peoria that was a Bible Methodist church. And that church was located on Richmond and Lynn Street in Peoria on the East Bluff. I was attending that church, and it was a smaller church. We were there just for a couple years through a connection we had in our family. And during that time, there was an elderly man. His name was Coley Parsons. And he was in his 80s at that time. He had failing health. I was 17. And you know how it is if you grew up in the church. Our family sat behind him. And I remember that he would always talk to me after services. He would talk about his love for Jesus. He would talk about how much he enjoys praying and how much joy he has. And when he would talk to me in these ways, his voice would crack. He was weak. His health was failing. He was an elderly man. His spouse had passed away. He was living alone. And yet, as an 80-year-old, he was investing in me as a 17-year-old. He gave me one day this Gospel of John, and he just told me, he said that this book, the Gospel of John, of all the books in the Bible, has done more for him to shape his heart, to know the love of God. And then he talked to me about how this book has helped him more than any other book to share the good news of the love of Jesus. Well, I opened this, and inside of it I have written here, Mark McCall. I wrote this when I was 17. From Brother Parsons. Now, back in that day, this church, you called others brothers and sisters in Christ, since we're all part of God's family. So Brother Coley Parsons says, BMC for Bible Methodist Church, Peoria. And I share that because I don't know why. It's an ordinary thing. I put it in my keepsake box. But I want to talk to you about the profound impact this has had on me, especially this year. You see, when I was 17, I was discerning a call to preach. I wasn't sure. I felt that God was calling me to be a pastor, and I was praying about that. And at that time, he told me he was going to pray for me. And he felt I had a call to pastor. And later on, when I was in college, I remember right before he passed away, he was in a nursing home. He had oxygen. And I remember my family, we stopped by to see him. And I was in school in Bible college studying to be a pastor. And during that visit, I remember he could hardly speak. We were there to pray for him. And I remember he prayed over me, God's blessing on my ministry. He asked that God would bless me and that God would help me as I prepared to be a pastor. And you know the amazing thing about this little Gospel of John? Who would believe that God in his providence, Coley Parsons, was a former member of Peoria First Church of the Nazarene, back, way back in the 1950s and 1960s. And when our church, First Church of the Nazarene, built the building on Richmond and Lynn that I attended when I was a teenager, just for about a year and a half. And it was at that church that Coley Parsons stayed when the rest of our church moved here. He helped lay the bricks of that building, and he stayed there. And who would have thought that a member of Peoria First Church of the Nazarene would pray over me as a 17-year-old teenager for God's calling on my life? You see, just earlier when I found this, just a month ago, God brought back to my mind that he's been writing my story all along. He is faithful. He has been with me, and he has been writing that story all along. There's so many examples I could share. Even in our church family today, we recently just mourned the loss of Maxine Blaine, one of our longest members. Such a wonderful example of godliness as she passed away and had her homecoming to heaven. I received a letter in the mail last week from an individual who said that back in the 1970s, Maxine Blaine is part of the reason that this person is a Christian today. Somebody who lives here in Peoria was talking about how Maxine Blaine had an impact on helping her come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without her example, that person wouldn't be a Christian today. Could it be that God wants to use you, not just in your youth, not just in your middle age, but in your retirement? He wants to use you as an ordinary person to profoundly impact somebody else. Remember today, God works in ordinary ways to reveal his promise and plan. And remember, God works through ordinary people to bring wisdom and eternal life for others. So as we close in prayer today, I want to ask you to commit to take time. Take time before we close this chapter on 2020. I know we're eager and excited to just kind of end 2020, but before we do, would you prayerfully reflect upon a small step that you can take this year to more intentionally know Christ and patiently wait on Him? Would you consider setting a goal beyond external things that are good? Set a goal within your heart that is eternal, to allow space for God to shape you, for God to make you a new person this year and ultimately prepare you to influence others. And if you don't know Christ today, you can today. Today is the day that you can place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day that you can experience the salvation that Christ came to bring. God's word is clear. All He asks is that we would place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would admit that we are sinners. We would admit our need. We would cry out in our heart and ask Him to save us. And if we do that, we trust and believe that because He is a God of love and He has sent His Son, that He saves us. And we begin this wonderful relationship of following Jesus. And the final thing I want to leave you with, in 2021, can I challenge you and all of us as a church family, give your hobbies, give your talents, give your vocation, give your time, give all of yourself to God as a love offering to Him. You see, sometimes we've come to think that being a Christian means God wants to take all that away. But more often than not, I believe that often God, once we surrender everything to Him, He gives it right back to us. But He gives it back to us with new life. Let Him give you those things back, your hobbies, your talents, your vocation, your time, not for you to possess and control, but for you to steward, so that you might live like Simeon, to bring His love, His life, wisdom and truth to others who are hurting. You see, God's not looking for somebody extraordinarily gifted. He's looking for ordinary people who will take small steps of obedience to bring His life to others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love today. Thank You for this wonderful privilege we've had of opening Your word. You have heard everything that we've shared. You have seen every thought in our minds and our hearts, and even on this last Sunday of 2020, You love us and You are here for us. I pray that You would meet every need in our hearts. I pray that You would open our eyes to see that You are at work revealing and unfolding Your promises and Your plan through ordinary ways. Help us to have faith, Father, to take those small steps. Help us in the setting of goals to be like Simeon, to set that greater goal, that life goal, that we too will see Jesus. Help us to place our hope in that. And Father, would You help us today to remember that You have given us everything in our life. Every good and perfect gift is from You. Our talents, our gifts, our possessions. And before we step into 2021, help us to step into 2021 with open hands and open hearts. All that I am, Lord, all that I have, Lord, is Yours. My whole life is a gift from You. And I give it back to You, O God. Now use me. Use me for Your glory to impact other people. Use my talents, my vocation, my gift for Your kingdom. Because You use ordinary people to bring life and hope to others. We thank You and we pray these things in Your holy name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us this last Sunday of 2020. Just real quick before we go, thank you for joining us online. I also want to thank you so much on behalf of our pastoral staff for the incredibly, incredibly generous Christmas gift that you gave us as a church family. I just can't thank you enough for how big of a blessing and an affirmation that was to me and my family. I know to also our other pastoral staff. Our pastoral staff, such a tremendous, tremendous blessing. We are so, so thankful for that. I want to remind you as we go, next Sunday we will be virtual only on January 3rd. And then the following Sunday, January 10th, we will be in person here at Peoria Nazarene, but also we will be virtual for those who still will join us from home. That will be Pastor Matt and Steph's last Sunday with us before they begin their assignment at Canton, First Church of the Nazarene. So I want to invite you to prepare cards, perhaps to put a gift or a gift card in there if you want to express that. That would be appropriate to show your appreciation for their 3 years here with us at Peoria Nazarene. And to come Sunday, January 10th, following the service, there will be a table with a container that you can place a card in, say goodbye to them, ask God's blessing on them. We'll pray for them in our service. If you're virtual only and you would like to come by and just through your car without getting out of it, drop off a gift and offer a word of love to them, 9 to 10 a.m. on Sunday, January 10th, there will be a drive-by. So before the service, to come to drive by right underneath the canopy just adjacent to the sound booth in the back of the sanctuary. You can drive by and you can drop a card off and wave at Pastor Matt and Steph, 9 to 10 a.m. January 10th. And then on Sunday, January 10th, we're going to start a brand new series called Small Faith, Big God, where we're going to explore how faith the size of a mustard seed and the impact that can have in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful, happy new year. God bless you.